Hare Krishna, 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Yeah. Krishna, Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Everyone, all of us, all together, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare. One more time, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Jaya Prabhu Parat, Prabhu Parat, Prabhu Parat, Sila Prabhu Parat, Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai. Oh, my God. Jaya Radha Shyama Sunda, Radha Shyama Sunda, Radha Shyama Sunda, Shri Radhe. Your pain nandi hari hari bo. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamini Namaste Sadasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Sunyavani Paskatyane Sadani Jai Jai Sri like to greet all of you affectionately for this second part of my little seminar where I talk about the five pillars on which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's bhakti is working. But I want to frame it a little bit so that it becomes very understandable. I will again, sorry, there's something. Hare Krishna. I see a garland is coming. Thank you very much. Is this a Bharati garland?
Yeah.
This is the real Bharati garland. It is. Yes. Thank you, Vrindavan Chanda, for. Today I will talk about the third principle of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is that the most pleasing form of Krishna's worship is the way the gopis do it, the path of the gopis. This is a very exalted subject matter, and I would like to first of all clarify how this is useful to us on our level. Let me just see. There is this verse. Let us chant it again. I have to find the Arajyo Bhagavan Brajesha Tanayas Tattama Brindavanam. Say Arajyo Bhagavan Brajesha Tanayas tatama brindavan ramya kachidupasana prajabadu vargenaya kalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramalam Amalam Prema Muhato Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matamidam Tatradarona Param. It is the conclusive opinion of Lord Chaitanya that the most worshipable form of the Lord is that of Sri Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj. Vrindavan Dham is the topmost worshipable abode, the highest and most pleasing type of worship of Krishna is done by the Braja Gopis. Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless authority on everything. And finally, Krishna Prema is the fifth and highest goal of life. I would like to start with a graph. When we start in our Krishna consciousness, our engagement with the world is very big. No? We are still a little identified with our body and with our mind. We have our ambitions, perhaps, our goals. And life in this Kali Yuga is very intense, so we have little time to really think of Krishna. And even in our sadhana, we tend to be distracted and think of other things. So Krishna is very small at that time. Now in the sadhana, the spiritual practice, we try to think more of Krishna, hear more of Krishna, and then the world of Krishna becomes very big, so big that the world of Maya becomes very small. Look at this stick. Is there any way you can make it shorter without any physical manipulation, like for instance cutting, sawing it, yes, or doing what I usually like to do, use magic? And you put another stick, which is just so big, so much bigger, and then this in fact is shorter than this one. So, yes, no?
Yes.
Some of you have read Krishna's Freundeskreis because I took it from that magazine. This is what we try to do here. Yes, the world may be very big. Our occupation with the world may be very big. It takes a lot of time. However, if we talk a lot about Krishna, chant Krishna's holy name, then the world appears small and insignificant. Yes?
Yes.
Ah. By the way, my new stick. So this is what we try to do. But in order to make Krishna's world big, there are two things we have to learn. Once there was a disciple who asked his spiritual master a question, which I think many of us have. He said, in ancient times, in old times, there were people who saw God face to face and had a discussion. No? We hear about this. There were the Goswamis, there were the Pandavas. They talked face to face to God. But why don't we hear examples from modern times where people saw and talked face to God? And the elderly guru gave a very wise and deep answer. People don't know any longer how to bow down low. Only the person who bows down low to the Lord in a feeling of real dainyam, he can make Krishna bigger than himself, no? And he will compare his life with that of, he will talk to Krishna and see, oh Krishna, you're so wonderful, oh I'm so small. Only then you become small, when you know how to bow down before Krishna. And today we will enter into not bowing down to Krishna. I mean, we will bow down to Krishna, of course, but we will see Krishna's most closest devotees. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami speaks about them. He says, when these devotees put cosmetics on their body, calm their heart, their hair, they think only that they do this only to give pleasure to Krishna. The most devoted, selfless devotees of the Lord are the gopis of Vrindavan. And we will hear about this a little. We will hear about them, but we will try to bow down humbly for them. And then the second thing is we will look at the deepest expression of bowing down. We will look at what it could mean to cry in devotional service. Not modern new age tears, where you quickly have tear up and then you are looked as very advanced, but tears that come from the soul. And how these tears or these, the tears may not be physical tears, but how this intense desire could come. We will look at this. These two things, bowing down low and crying or calling out for Krishna, that will make the Lord appear in our hearts. So, are you interested?
Yes.
Are you on your edge of your seat?
Yes.
Good. My dear devotees, in Jiva Goswami's writing, we find that there are four types of devotees, and these four types of devotees... Oh, that was one thing I forgot. My dear devotees, and as we bow down to the gopis, and as we are crying for Krishna's for mercy, we will remember the Krishna Chuda flower. I will show you a photo of the Krishna Chuda flower. You remember the Krishna Chuda flower is an analogy for us. The Krishna Chuda flower had no fragrance, and it was born from where? a thorn bush, and it decided to commit suicide by throwing itself before the lotus feet of Krishna. But who saw the Krishna Chuda flower? Radharani. And she could see, this is so intense. The Krishna Chuda flower is so intense. It reminds us of the gopis' intense love for Krishna. So therefore, Radha picked her up and placed her at Krishna's lotus feet. Do you like to see the Krishna Chuda flower? In Vrindavan, there are Krishna Chuda flowers. You can see them. They are very beautiful, really. They look, especially, they have the right size to go into the crown of Krishna. We have deities, Radha Kanaya Lala, there also, and we are putting the Krishna Chuda flower. One in Radharani's hand, because she picked her up. And one in Krishna's crown or turban, according to what he likes to have at that time. Anyways, there are four types of devotees I want, and all of them are measured according to the intensity of their bhakti. There are ordinary devotees like me for sure, and many of us in the audience. We are trying our best. Then there is someone who has more love. That is Narada Muni. He is so full of love for Krishna. He goes around and preaches Krishna consciousness. And some of his disciples are kings and Prahlad, Dhruva, and so on. He always has his veena with which he sings Krishna's glory. The love in his heart spills out in preaching and singing. Then there is one group of devotees who's even more intense in their love for Krishna. That is the Brajavasis, the direct associates of Krishna, like Nanda Maharaj, of whom we heard. I don't know, didn't hear much about him, but we heard that Krishna has the name Nanda Nandana. But the fourth group of devotee, which I wish to express or talk about, are the Vraja Gopis, the gopis who Krishna calls for the Rasa dance and spends a night of Brahma with them and his personal associates. This great, you know, you can, in other words, you can see who is a great devotee, not necessarily by how much money he gave to Krishna or how much posts he has on the Instagram face, or what is it, Instagram, Facebook, or you know, the Instagram, or what is it called? No, that is in himself, and that is because bhakti takes on two forms, my dear devotees. This gradation idea, there is the external effort which we make for Krishna. It is important. It's called Shesta Rupa. And there is also something else, that is the devotional sentiment with which we do it. You know, we know that a devotee may wipe the floor and he is really thinking, this floor must be wiped for Krishna. That Krishna feels it's a beautiful temple in which he is. And there is another devotee, perhaps he is able to do big things and have a lot of preaching success. If he also thinks, I'm doing this for Krishna, well, then his effort has an inner heart that is the bhava, the devotion. In actual bhakti, these two things are one. They are not two. It's not that there's the effort on one hand, the bhava on one. Devotional service, by definition, means it's one. Here's the effort, and here is inside the effort, the devotional thing. Jiva Goswami says it's like a chickpea. It looks as if the chickpea has two halves, but it's really one chickpea, you know. Chickpea lovers know this. Yeah. So, in the bhakti, from what is effort and bhava and bhakti should both be there. But of course, when there is a lot of bhava, a lot of devotional sentiment, then it is so natural that the effort flows from there. It is, comes in an unforced way. So, yes. I want to now give you a little verse which describes that only if we connect with the Srimati Radharani, who is the leader of all the gopis. The gopis are expansions of her. No? Then we can really understand Krishna, because Krishna can't be understood through your mind and intelligence, but he can be understood through love. No? Through loving devotional service. And so let us hear this very important verse. It is, you will like to chant it, therefore I have, for your chanting pleasure, we have put it here. I only know this melody at the moment. Anaradya Radha Padambuja Renum.
Anaradya Radha Padambuja Renum.
Anashrita Vrindatavim Tat Padankam.
Anashrita Vrindatavim Tat Padankam.
Asambhasya tad bhava gambira chitan.
Asambhasya tad bhava gambira chitan.
Kuta shama sindu rasasya vaga.
Kuta shama sindu rasasya vaga.
Sorry, it's not such a... It's a little... next time it will be better. So, Krishna generally can be understood only in two ways. You must know the tattva, the philosophical truth about him. And in our movement, we are very good in giving lectures about this. But then, you must add the color, the raga or the rasa to it, the deep devotional emotions. So this verse asks a question: how will one be able to plunge into the nectar of ocean, the nectar of the ocean of love for Krishna? How? What should one do to dive into this devotional ocean of so much feeling, where Lord Chaitanya says just a drop of that devotional feeling can flood the whole world. It's so powerful. How do we ever get there, that we come into this devotional thing? Well, you must do three things. You must worship the pollen of Radha's lotus feet. In other words, the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. The second thing you must do is you must take shelter of Vrindavan, which bears her footprints. And the third thing is, you must respectfully associate with those great souls whose heart are filled with deep love for her. In other words, full Krishna understanding, which is only possible by understanding his sweetness and experiencing his sweetness, no, is only possible if you take shelter at Srimati Radharani's lotus feet, who is very close to Krishna. Prabhupada says, when Radha sees this, he says, he is such a good devotee, Krishna. Please, on my recommendation, take him, because he's better than me. Hare Krishna. So you must worship the lotus feet of Krishna, of Radha, sorry. Take shelter in Vrindavan, either physically or mentally. This is the second thing. Yesterday, I met one devotee and said, the devotee said to me, I was so happy about your lecture because I understood Vrindavan is so difficult. There is the betong buildings, the monkey mafia, which makes the roofs insecure. There is in Vrindavan, there's dust, what to speak of Mr. and Mrs. Hawk, who have many, many followers, you know, the many pigs, in other words. And I thought, this is not my what I wanted to say. Then the devotee saw my great existential crisis. I thought I had totally done a wrong lecture. She said, oh yes, my expression must have shocked her totally. And she said, and I liked how you told us how we can be in Vrindavan and discover Vrindavan in our heart. You know, the mental residence in Vrindavan by meditation. I thought, if you would not have said this, I would have taken the next rope and hang myself on the tree, because that was very dear to me. I have misrepresented. So these things, worship Radha, the gopis, first and foremost, who? Radharani, yes. Worship Vrindavan, which has her footprint. And third is you need to respectfully associate with great devotees, with the devotees who have love for her. This is what you need to do. So now I want to do something very untypical in our movement. I want to show you a little, I hope it is with me here. I want to talk a little bit, yes, oh Krishna, about a pastime by which you can see Radharani's glories and taste perhaps a little of the sweetness of Krishna in Vrindavan by going through the example of Srimati Radharani. I have heard this pastime from Prabodhananda Saraswati in Vrindavan Mahimamrita, and I heard it also from His Holiness Indradumna Maharaj, and I try to put it together that it is pleasing for you.
Radharani ki jai, Maharani ki jai.
Radharani ki jai, Maharani ki jai.
Radharani ki jai, Maharani ki jai.
To be careful here, because I like to sing this very much, but it is not allowed, only on Radhastami. So, one day, the pastime goes, Srimati Radharani was sitting in her chambers in Vashana, and she played upon her veena. She felt so much separation from Krishna, as she had not seen him for some time, that she began to contemplate, where does Krishna appear? And she remembered, Krishna appears where? In the land of Vrindavan. Yes, he's in Vrindavan. He doesn't move a step out of Vrindavan. So with her Veena being the greatest instrumentalist, you could say, she made one sound that sounded like the cuckoo in the forest of Vrindavan. But that was not a complete forest scene. Then she made another sound that sounded like the call of the peacocks. Giga, giga. Then she made a strong sound, which sounded like the roar of a lion. Hare Krishna. Lions are there in Vrindavan, but they roar out of love, you know. The other sound, she wanted to have a full representation of the forest of Vrindavan, sounded like the serpent moving through the grass. Be careful when you see the grass moving and you don't see who moved the grass. Yes. And then she thought of deeper notes that sounded like the gentle swaying of the great Kalpavriksha trees of Vrindavan. Then she made very high notes that sounded like the waves of the Yamuna. And it was when she is Radharani, the best of instrumentalists and poets, it sounded as if the whole forest of Vrindavan had entered her chambers. The birds who were outside in the trees and making their sounds became still, an absolute reverence about Radha Rani's sound orchestra. And they all listened very carefully, like munis, to the beautiful sound of Srimati Radharani's Veena. Now, what as Radharani played this, she went into a trance of meditation about Krishna. When Krishna appears in front of the devotee will first realize one of two aspects of Krishna, either his beautiful fragrance, which wafts through the forest, being carried by a kind breeze, or he will hear, or she will hear, the sound of Krishna approaching, mostly the flute. Krishna plays on his flute, he's dancing, and he watches his feet as they dance and make the rhythm. With what is on his feet that could make the rhythm? The anchor bells, yes. Now, Radharani could make every sound from Vrindavan's forest except for one sound. That's the sound of Krishna's flute. She could not double it represent that sound on her Veena. She could represent anything. And that is because Krishna is Asamurtha. There is nothing higher than him. Krishna is Krishna because he's Krishna. You know, he says, in Krishna, everything is there. And the more she tried, the more she became desperate. Perhaps she was like a devotee in this world who prays so much that Krishna hears him or her, but there is no response. Do you know about this situation? You try to get a sign, just anything, but no response. There's a good movie about this. It's called The Silence of God. It drives his worshippers sometimes into a desperation mood. And she cried out loud, "My life is useless. Only those who can remain with those they love have a successful life. Those who are separated from those they love have a most unfortunate life. And because I'm separated from Krishna, I have this situation." She began to cry. Her chamber, which was filled with the joyful sounds of Vrindavan, filled with her helpless crying that could break stones. And Vrinda Devi heard it. Then she understood she needs to now do the service which all the gopis in Vrindavan do. It's the highest service. The highest service is very interesting. It is to bring Radharani together with Krishna. Highest is not to enjoy yourself, but highest is to arrange things that the divine couple can meet. And therefore, Vrinda Devi said, I will bring you to Krishna, but we should have at least 5 items with which we can decorate Krishna. We should come. This is the idea of the gopis. Always seva, seva, seva. Radharani enthusiastically agreed. And she, Vrinda Devi produced first a beautiful crown. Can you imagine what was on the crown? Peacock feathers. I can understand by your response. You are very amazed by what you hear. Then she brought a long flower garland. What is the name of this flower garland which Krishna? How many flowers are in there?
5.
Good. Then she brought sandalwood paste to cool the body of the Lord. She brought incense and a lamp. And yes, that is what she brought. 4 things, actually. Then she entered the with Vrinda Devi into the Vrindavan forest. And she walked for long. And she began to call for Krishna. O Syam, O beautiful Krishna, please accept your maid servant. She looked for Krishna everywhere. She opened the leafy curtains that formed an enclosure of the kunj. Krishna wasn't there. She looked behind the tall and thick trees. Krishna wasn't there. She went down to the Yamuna and looked for Krishna there. Krishna was not there. There are songs in Braj Bhasa language. Radhe was everywhere calling out for Krishna. Kusum Sarova in Yamuna and so on. Then Vrinda Devi understood the separation of Radha had reached the high point.
No.
She could not, the meeting should not be delayed. And she showed Radha a very narrow forest path. That pathway was very cool and very soft. Dense foliage, it's called foliage, leaves, blocked the sunlight. And the forest itself looked like a dark gufa, a cave. There seemed to be only one illumination on that path. You know, Krishna is found in the secret chambers of the heart, the gufa, but it needs to be illuminated. And this illumination, my dear devotees, is something we will hear in the second part of the lecture. It were the tears that Srimati Radharani cried. They seemed to illuminate the way. And finally, being led by her road of tears, you could see, a path of tears, she came to a secluded grove amongst flowering bushes, and she saw something that looked to her eyes like a tamal tree, very blackish. And in the throngs of love, throngs are something that throws you back and forth, as far as I know, she went to this tree that seemed to be curved in three ways and put the crown on it, then she put the flower garland on it, then to cool the tree, which looked so much like Krishna, she put sandalwood on it, she took incense and lamp and prayed, "Oh Krishna," through her tears. "O beloved of Gokul," I read this to you, "O life of my eyes, you are here and I've been searching for you everywhere. O Lord of my heart, please accept this gift." Now all of a sudden the tree began to embrace her. What? And very shyly she went into the back, and she had not noticed that the tree was not a tree. The tree was no one else than Shyam Sundar Krishna. And as Radharani was in the distance, Krishna took his flute and played that one sound that Radha could not make. He had heard about all this. He played the fifth note upon his flute, and as Radha heard this enchanting sound of Krishna's flute, who had now responded to her a little delayed when she tried to find Krishna by making her veena sounds, no? And Krishna, Radharani overcame her shyness and answered with a melody of her own from her veena. While this was going on and the divine couple were meeting in sound, and in the sound of the flute and the veena, the Vandevis, that are the servants of Vrinda Devi, showered flowers, and the desire of the devotees is to see the divine couple showered with flowers. Srimati Radharani ki
jai!
Thank you very much. Krishna, Krishna. So nice, no? The modern mind cannot think of these things. What can we learn from this? My dear devotees, there is one aspect which we can safely approach, which we can learn from the gopis. When Krishna had left the gopis during the rasa dance, the gopis tried to find him throughout the forest of Vrindavan. They searched lovingly for him, and this is described by Shukadev Goswami in a beautiful verse, Gayantya Uchar. Yeah? Gayantya ucharamameva samhata.
Gayantya ucharamameva samhata.
Vichikshu unmatakalvat vanat katavanam.
Vichikshu unmatakalvat vanat katavanam.
Prapachyu akashavat antadam
bahir.
Bhuteshu santam purusham vanaspatim.
Bhuteshu santam purusham vanaspatim.
Singing loudly of Krishna.
Wah.
Singing loudly of Krishna. They did kirtan. They searched for him throughout the Vrindavan forest like a band of mad women. They even asked, listen to this, the trees about him, Triji. My dear Triji, have you seen Krishna? They asked for him who is the super soul, who is present inside and outside of all created beings, just like the sky. Krishna is everywhere. So they could understand he must be also around the trees, and therefore they asked him. But finally the gopis couldn't find Krishna. They had sung the whole Gopi Gita, which in the Krishna Balaram temple we like to sing every day at the month of Kartik, but Krishna had not chosen to appear. So finally, when they were desperate, they came to the bank of the Kalindi, the Yamuna, and they came to that place where Krishna had once shown them. It's a little lake in the Yamuna in old times, where Krishna had shown them Vrindavan, and they're meditating on Krishna and eagerly hoping he would come. They sat down to sing together. Now in chapter 32, you text one, you hear something of the kirtan of the gopis. And I believe it is here where we can extract a principle and we can learn this, because Prabhupada spoke often about this. I'm sorry I can't see it from here and I don't have it in my notes. So Radhika Ranjan, you have a good English pronunciation. If we can give you a microphone, please read this slowly and with good English pronunciation. No? It's now the kirtan of the gopis, no?
Sukadeva Goswami said, O King, having thus sung and spoken their hearts out in various charming ways, the gopis began to weep loudly. They were very eager to see Lord Krishna.
So the verse said they had spoken their hearts out. What does this mean? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says what they spoke. And this is now important. We will learn now principles. And as we have heard today from Keshava Maharaj, I think he quoted Madhvacharya, there are three layers in Shastras. One is the literal meaning, and one is, can you please help me? The second was the analogy. Didactical, what can we learn? And then is the metaphorical. No? What? So the question is, now Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur will give a comment, and Sanskrit commentaries, if they are done according to the rule, they always have to explain the text. So what does it mean that the gopis sang and or spoke, and later what does it mean that they sung? And you will hear, he takes the didactical approach. What can we learn? So this is what they say. Now this is something for you, no? Alas, alas, oh vaya, oh vaya, oh weh, oh weh. These are all alas, alas. Wherever we go to find Krishna, he seems to not be there and run away from this. Why should we trouble ourselves needlessly by walking around in the forest? He always runs away from us. And from this we conclude, without Krishna's wish, we can never attain him. As it is stated in the Katha Upanishad, Yam evaisha vrinute tena labhya. Krishna reveals himself only to that person whom he himself chooses. So let's stop here. The gopis, on their own efforts, try to find him. They realize their efforts are never enough. Krishna reveals himself only to someone he chooses. But is there anything, the gopis, you know, they are very eager to see Krishna, which we could do that may be influencing Krishna's choice to show us mercy? And they come to this conclusion. In other words, only by Krishna's mercy can we see him. Now, by chanting his name, we will surely attain that mercy of Krishna. That they think, let's do kirtan. Thinking thus, but they do it in a certain way. Thinking thus, the gopis, you know, they had done kirtan and searched, but now they want to do exclusively kirtan. Thinking thus, the gopis stopped their searching. They returned to the bank of the Yamuna, where they had previously associated with Krishna. There, they engaged in singing and meditating about Krishna. Aha, they did not sing mindlessly. They meditated about Krishna. Krishna Bhavanaha. By their behavior, the Braja Gopis established the philosophical conclusion that Krishna reveals himself according to his free will. However, there is something that influences Krishna's heart. It is said the gopis were also weeping. Is it there in the text? They were weeping. They were crying. Have you heard from the nectar of devotion that the only price to get Krishna is his tears? Have you heard? No, no. Do you believe me that I'm quoting properly if you have not heard? Yes. Srila Prabhupada said this chanting should be mindlessly done. Oh, sorry. This chanting is exactly like the genuine cry of a child for its mother's presence. And in Chaitanya Bhagavat, we hear the secret of bhakti yoga. I only know the first line, but you can in Sanskrit. So, bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga dana. It means the treasure of bhakti yoga in practice. And the bhakti yoga in with rasa, with taste, in perfection, that is done by one thing, and here I only know the English, to chant the holy name while crying for Krishna. Now this promises to get intense. Let us get some more proofs, because this is now... There is a book that describes to you confidential discussions between Arjuna and Krishna. They cover many, many very confidential subjects, who is a real devotee, and so on. The book is called the Adi Purana. You have heard one quotation, very often quoted in lecture. Someone who says that he's directly my devotee is not, but someone who says what? He is a devotee of the devotee. He is my devotee. That we all know. We have heard it many times in the lectures. No. Here's another verse from that work. O Arjuna, Krishna speaks, now listen very carefully to what is in my heart. Those persons who sing my name and dance directly before me truly purchase me. Don't be surprised by what I tell you now. Truthfully, those who sing my names and cry tears of longing, they cry tears, they purchase me, Janardana, completely. Janardana is a name of Krishna that refers to the Lord who sits in the hearts of all Janas, you know, all living beings. Arjuna, except for these devotees who sing longingly my name and cry while they do this, no one else can purchase me. And we heard about this from the prime example, the gopis, and the leader of all the gopis, Srimati Radharani. No, this is very, very, this is a quotation there. There are many other quotations. So many other quotations. Prabhupada said, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us that we should simply cry and pray that the Lord accepts us. We should simply cry and pray that the Lord accepts us. Now I would like to ask you a question. Oof, this is crying for Krishna. That's a little beyond most of us. Let us ask a question. Do you remember when you last cried? Yes. Mataji, no problem, Maharaj. We know all the answers in your Now the question to the men. I must say for myself, I'm from North German, and it's the worst thing for a man to cry in public in North Germany. I remember once someone showed me there was a burial or a funeral ceremony for a head of state, and all the people who came, politicians, they spoke some good things and achievements about that head of state. I don't remember who it was. And then the president of Japan came. And he did something I can never forget. He just took the microphone, and then he went, and he cried. And he didn't even have the feeling, maybe I should stop crying, or perhaps it's too loud, or it's too shocking. it is culturally all right to cry. In Japan, when someone who is dear to you varies, it is seen as a strange sign of alienation from your own personality when you can't cry when someone who's dear to you dies. So there are three types of tears. Tears of the body, that's when you are in pain or in some discomfort. Maybe people say bad things about you, your internet attendance goes down, and so on. Well, this already goes a little into the pain of the mind. The second pain is pain of the mind. Loss or non-attainment of some material desire or object, or loss of a dear person. Maybe a relationship goes awfully wrong and the person doesn't talk to you any longer. It's enough. But then there are, beyond the tears of the body and the tears of the mind, there are called tears of the soul. There is a Sanskrit word for this. It is Atmakrandan. It's when you feel yourself unworthy and you yearn or long to be in contact with Krishna sometimes. There are two soul type of soul tears, to be very specific. It's those who have not yet attained Krishna prema. They think themselves usually not unworthy. They think themselves to be very worthy. And then there are the tears of those who have attained Krishna prema. It's one of the eight symptoms of the Ashtabhavas. That is the trembling, tears, horripilation, that, and fear. And there are tears, spiritual tears, which sadhakas in this world can access. These tears, spiritual, are when you actually feel on your heart the weight of your own unworthiness. It's a heavy weight. I have tried many things. Again, I have caught myself in this unworthy activity or unworthy thought. I feel myself unworthy, and as you enter this, you are not shy to lay out your heart, to lay out your heart bare, it is bare, before those you feel can help you. If you are a devotee of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, of Gaur-Nitai, if you are like this, some of us are taking this serious, this worship of Gaur-Nitai, then you will go to them and you will bare your heart. You will say, I'm unworthy. I tried so many things on my own. Nothing works. And then you will feel some longing. There is a verse by Narottam Das Thakur, a song, Gauranga bolite habe pulaka sharira hari hari bolite noyane babinia. When will the time come, asked Narottam, when torrents of tears pour from my eyes simply by uttering Gauranga? No, he's saying, Gauranga, I'm useless. I'm useless. Please help me. My dear devotees, as long as pride and duplicity, I'm a great devotee, have occupied and ruled your heart, it is not possible for you to have these type of tears. It is when deep self-assessment of your spiritual state. We don't speak about how much money you have, how successful you are, how white your teeth are when you smile. You know, we don't talk about these external things. We talk about the spiritual position at that time when you are free from pride and duplicity. Then you come to tears. Now, to summarize it, there are three elements for spiritual tears which must come together. It's not, sometimes Matajis and macho brahmacharis may cry because they couldn't attain the other partner or so on. This is not what we are talking about. These are tears of the body and the mind. We talk of spiritual tears. There must be three elements. Listen carefully. This might help you. You have to see that a sense of your own unworthiness comes to you. In our sampradaya, this is very, very important. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur described or prescribed for his followers a sadhana, amara. Oh my God, I could start. I have it here. Amara jivan sadhya paperate nahi ko punyeralesh. Prabhupada, he said, my Guru Maharaj said, every morning we have to beat our mind, you know, with a broom. What does this mean? When I was young, I took a broom and said, dum, dum, good sadhana. I know I'm a little dumb, and I was very dumb. It means to sing this song. Write it down. Amara, new word, jivana, like you hear it, sada paparati. It's the honest confession of one's own helplessness in spiritual matters. It says, it is something, amaraji, I'm a soul, but my life has been given to the wrong things. And then he describes, I'm after prestige, I'm after being honored, I do things to attain my ends that are not good, you know, and so on. It's a long list, and so on. And that, when you hear that list, you will say, ah, that's me, how did he know? And so on. It's. I found it here in my notes. It's in page 155 in this book. My life is given to the wrong things. There is not a particle of real good things. I have caused others great anxieties. I've given them trouble. For the sake of my own pleasure, I have never hesitated to perform anything and everything. I'm devoid of all compassion. And he speaks about something which I guess many of us feel. When you hear about the successes of others, you go, why not me? When you hear about the illness and so on, he got what he deserved. You know, you're happy about the pain of others and unhappy about their joys. No, he goes into, I mean, Carl Gustav Jung could not have described it better. You know. So, first of all, be real. Sense of a sense of unachievement should be there. And then the second element is that you should think about the boundless magnanimity of your Ishta, of the Lord whom you worship. That, okay, Krishna, I'm like this, but you are so merciful. And then as you come to this idea, there's no one who's more compassionate than you, Parama Karuniko Nabhavet Paraha, and there's no one more wretched and fallen than me, Parama Sochatamo Nachamat Paraha. When you come to this, no one is more compassionate than you, and no one is more wretched and fallen than me. Then you come into the situation. My dear devotees, don't necessarily look for the tears. If you look for the tears, it's very easy. Took some red chili pepper and just put it in the eyes. That's not an art. That's not the crying we hear here. The crying of the soul that brings you the treasure of bhakti yoga. Look for the right mentality that gives birth to the external things like tears in the eyes. No? Before this deep inner realization comes to you, no one is more compassionate than you, Krishna, and no one is more wretched and fallen than me. The emergence of tears is simply not possible. So here we have the example of the gopis. And we will end here. The example of the gopis is that they search for Krishna while singing his names with a feeling of genuine longing. And it is this genuine longing that gives birth to their rudanti, their crying. So this is also the teachings of Mahaprabhu. The most realistic way in which a sadhaka can make contact with Krishna is to chant his holy name with a feeling of longing that I wish to attain him. And that feeling of longing comes when you bring these two things together. Think about the greatness and magnanimity. Those who know English will laugh about me. The great compassion of the Lord. Think on this. And the other is, think about, where am I in comparison? No? Where am I in comparison? Electricity needs positive and negative current, and if they are charged, then a flash comes. In the same way, my dear devotees, your realization in Krishna consciousness comes positively, thinking about Krishna's magnanimity, greatness, kindness, compassion, and your own being real with you, breaking the thick crusts of pride and deceit from your heart, and then that proper mood and discharge comes. That's the teaching of the gopis. That's how they chanted. The next verse describes when Krishna heard them chanting like this at the banks of the Yamuna with deep longing in their eyes, he appeared before them. He carried the same garland which the gopis had given him, and he had taken the chata a little bit to the side so that it was visible. I'm having your garland. I have not forgotten you. See? And he smiled a little because he had given them pain and he wanted to lighten their mood now. And he told some deep things to them. He said, listen, O beautiful gopis who don't understand my intentions. I sometimes keep myself distant from my devotees who yearn for me because I want to increase their longing. No, this is the way how to get Krishna. So, sit down. Now comes the exercise. This is not the time to leave the lecture. It is not an additional point. It is a most important point. Sit down. You sit down already. Sorry, I wanted to say sit straight a little. We will go into an exercise now. So we heard something. No one is more compassionate than you, Krishna. You saved Gajendra when he called for you, and he even didn't really know so much about you. He just called for the Supreme, and you came. You came to Ajamil. He didn't. He also was quite unconscious. He sang the name of his son. You came to Draupadi. And you came to that newcomer who went to the Radhadesh Kirtan Mellows. And who was singing perhaps the first time. And when I looked at Madhurika's Instagram and Radhika's Instagram, Radhika Ranjan's Instagram, I saw also brand new people in the audience who were very moved. I saw even some tears. You can see on Instagram, no? On computer. You can see with your own eyes. You are not far. You are only far if I choose to be far away from you. No one is more compassionate than you. And although I'm so long on this process, I must admit I'm not yet as realized as I could be. I'm a little wretched, I'm a little fallen. And you just, without artificiality, you just bring these two poles and you sing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Oh,
a secret. The bhakti happens not when you expect, oh, now I must make an experience, now it must work, following in Mahaprabhu's footsteps. No, no, it's not like this. But what certainly helps is if you have been to Vrindavan or you have a picture of Vrindavan, you see yourself in your mind's eye in the picture or in that place, and you sing to Krishna. If some of you would like to come with me, I go to Surabhi Kund near the Govardhan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Hare.
Mama.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, I will leave you with one thought, but I thank you very much for participating and singing. Please know this art of crying is something that comes when we naturally develop this mentality, which is between these two opposites, so to say. We remember the magnanimity, please someone say in English the word? Magnanimity. Yeah, that word, the greatness, the compassion of the Lord on one side, and then we don't match it with our greatness. No, that would be wrong. We match it with our feeling of not yet having attained, not reached. And I will leave you with a thought. I've told you the legend before, but it is good to repeat. Once a disciple came to his spiritual master and said, Guru Maharaj, why we always talk about ancient personality who have seen the Lord face to face? And not modern examples? Modern people have unlearned the art of bowing low enough. That is the reason. But if they again learn to develop, to bow low, or feeling this dainyam, this feeling of wretchedness, is the English is the right word. We say humility, but that's not what the Sanskrit word is talking about. But it is nearby. No, if they can develop this, then also they will see the Lord face to face as they chant His holy name. I thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Something to think about. And I will end here. I have gone over time. Please forgive me. It is not possible for me to take any questions at this moment, but I've tried to speak very, very clear.